B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We could do an entire album of Zoe mashups where he sings.
Did you guys get that other one together yet?
617-779-0985. Anyway, the football team, Zoe.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a general question. Are the Patriots better or worse than they were in the Super Bowl?
Oh, they're worse.
How much worse?
18%.
Scale of 1 to 10. No.
It's a great question. It really is, because you take Gronkowski out of it. Like, they don't win that game without Gronkowski. He makes the two biggest catches on that final drive to set up the Michelle touchdown. You weren't moving the ball at all. You were stone. It was stalemate. Mm-hmm. Offensive stalemate. And so you remove him. You have nobody to replace him. You don't even have Dwayne Allen to replace him. Your left tackle's gone. See, but I have confidence in Isaiah. Everybody's like, oh, you got the little one-footed left kid. It's going to play left side. He's never played in the NFL game. Well, David Andrews never played in an NFL game before he got here, too. And he was a center from Georgia, played in really, really big games down here in the SEC. And I think the Wynn kid's of that same ilk. And he's a little nastier than Andrews. And Andrews is a nasty kid. But Wynn's bigger. I think Scar can coach up Wynn or whoever the hell is going to be on the left side. Maybe they flip Cannon. I don't know. But I'm confident Scar will coach whoever that is. So I don't look at it as a wash, but it's almost a wash. Take Trey Flowers out of it. You got Michael Bennett Pennell in there now. And now it's Juwan Bentley's ready to go, right?
My thought is this. Okay, they got to make up for Gronk. They got to add in the passing game, right? They've got to be able to do that.
See Josh Gordon video from 2 days ago?
Yeah, but still.
I know, but it keeps going back to him as their high-end talented guy. For what it is, they have his rights. They have him. League going to let him play. You don't know that. Is the league going to let that guy play?
I don't care at this point. They still need to go do something else.
If you don't, and if you can't, if you don't have a second party that wants to do the dance and make a deal with you, what are you going to do?
Wing and a prayer at that point.
Yeah.
So that's what I look at. Like, when you're asking me, hey,
they're worse.
Think the Pats
are
better or worse? Right, well, they're worse, but they got to make up for the loss of Gronkowski in the passing game. They've got to do something there.
I think they could cover up the defense. I do. Like,
and then, you know what didn't make me feel good?
What?
Reading Tommy Curran. Now I'm concerned.
Why? Because Brady and Belichick cover everything
up? I don't know. He just said, this is what the headline was. Patriots are greatly diminished from the team that beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Okay. You know what they're starting to do? It's almost like it's come full circle for them. And I know the team.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like they're starting to construct the team the way it was constructed in the early days. Now, I know those defenses were great during the early days with the big runs in 01, 03, 04. Those are good defenses. You have from Patriot Hall of Famers. Some Hall of Famers have played on it, right? Obviously, with Ty going in this year. Their strength is their defense again, and that those teams in the early days ran the football and threw it when they had to. You know what I'm saying? Offensively, those teams weren't great. No, Antoine Smith. I know Deion Branch, good player. Was he looked at as an elite receiver? David Givens, good player. Those guys weren't looked at as elite guys.
Here's what he wrote. The Patriots are running a major trade deficit so far in the 2019 offseason. The list of exports a mile long. Coaches, Brian Flores, Josh Boyer, Brendan Daly, Chad O'Shea, Jerry Shiplinski. And he says, what the hell, might as well, Greg Schiano. He then writes, players like Trey Flowers, Trent Brown, Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, Cordarrelle Patterson, Dwayne Allen, Malcolm Brown, LaAdrian Waddle, and Adrian Claiborne. The imports? Few. Excepting defensive end Michael Bennett and linebackers coach Gerard Mayo. along with names that are generally unrecognizable, like Terrence Brooks, Bruce Ellington, Cedric Lang, Matt Lacoste, Maurice Harris, Mike Pennell. Free agency's first wave came and went. The second wave came and went. The Patriots just sat under their umbrella, reading John Grisham, listening to the seagulls. Can we get some waves? Some ocean sound effects?
Clever boy. This is short.
Oh, Jim missed the clever boy. Jim doesn't even know about clever boy.
I told Jim about clever boy.
He says there are no games today or this Sunday. There are actually 159 sleeps, like a nice nap on the beach, so before they get started. Oh, too loud. That's not pleasant. Very loud. He says, and there's a draft with an assortment of players a couple of years removed from their senior prom who will be hailed as possible solutions to the voids left by a Hall of Fame player like Gronkowski. This at NBC Sports Boston. Tommy Curran. Read this in top. Wow, that is a long list. They've got a lot to sort of replace, not just player-wise, coaching-wise, I know. I'm not as worried about that. But just the changeovers, though. Even if it's not about just talent, just the changing of the roster. A lot of guys that were in the system and
now we're not. I feel worse about my statement now after I didn't even acknowledge the coaching departures. It's like Brian Flores, you had him there. Chad O'Shea kept stuff together and helped that offense, you know. Szczepanski really helped McDaniels out. Now, McDaniels is a play caller more so than just a quarterback handler. Like, he's got to worry about all facets of that offense. And Szczepanski did some of the detailed stuff with Brady. Brendan Daly. That's an energy guy up front. There's a lot of guys kept that defense up and going and yelling and screaming on that sideline and kept them together. Now it's up to that defense and some of those veterans to continue it, though. Just because those guys aren't gone doesn't mean you can't play the way you played. You know, you earned that championship. You won that championship. In a weird way, you know, if you guys are as good as you think you are, you guys should go out and win regardless of who these coaches are, which will make those defensive players even better. They'll be viewed even better.
But it's easier to overcome a lack of talent with great coaching. And the coaching staff did take a major hit.
I'm more concerned about the state of the coaching staff than I am the team. That makes any sense to you. Because to Kern's point, too, like Belichick and Brady do cover up a lot of things. But really, it's like, okay, you lost Gronk.
That's a pretty big loss. I know that at times last year, Rob Gronkowski was not providing a lot to the offense.
But you still have to worry about him. You worry about Matt Lacoste? No, I don't worry about Matt Lacoste. I don't. Like, you got to figure out Gronkowski. But other than that, you got to pretty much rest the team back. Except for an outside guy. Like, Hogan, too. You could bring back Hogan on a decent deal. I'm not saying Hogan is a one or two, but Hogan is a three or four. It's pretty good. You got Dorsett. You got your backs all back. Get your boy Brandon Bolden. Forgot to add him in there. Man, Bolden's back. Who's a kicker? I'm still going to sign your kicker. What's that hang up about, you know?
Money.
Yeah. I mean, he's still around here. So I think he expects to be back. I think they expect him to be back.
617-779-0985. I'm sort of inclined to do the typical, yeah, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. But at least acknowledge this. They've got some figuring out that needs to get done with 158 days to go.
I know. Like Belichick said, I don't think there's a game next week. You know,
there isn't.
I know that's nice to say that, but it is also, it's legit worrisome. It is.
Is there a chance they just changed the offense around, though? Like they did in 2010 with the tight ends, and last year with the running game a little bit. Like they morph it into something that we're not even thinking about?
Yeah, but they still don't have a lot of pieces because they don't have the tight ends, and they really don't have the receivers outside of Edelman.
But I do think age of the quarterback and the way you're able to run the ball now and something that you found there midseason and on seems like it could be like the early offensive type styles, quick passes, get them out of the hand.
There's not enough screens, there, though. Screens, There's not screens. Enough there, and you probably shouldn't.
Ball control.
You shouldn't want to rely on Julian Edelman to that degree. You just shouldn't. He's going to be 33 years old when the season starts. You want to pin everything in your offense on a 33-year-old receiver?
you're still outside of that range, though, where you've gotten Brandon Cooks, you've gotten Cordarrelle Patterson, you've gotten guys that have contributed like this late into the offseason the last couple of years. I know Patterson wasn't great, but I think if you get one receiver via trade and you draft one of these top tight ends, you're thinking a lot differently about this team.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And that's a big part of this. I think they're going to, if they approach the tight end through the draft, that still leaves them with needing to make a trade for a receiver, which to me is priority number one. Should be number one.
Yeah, that's your number one need right now. Absolutely.
That should be the focus. And I think as long as they do that, as long as they go out and get another, again, good player at the position, they'll feel a lot better.
Did you see this other guy they picked up, this tackle that was on injured reserve somewhere? I forget where the hell he was, but he's like 6'8", 300-some pounds again. Like, here we go.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. What was
the hell's that kid's name?
There's not many of those guys walking the earth, but they seem to find one
every
offseason.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I said the same thing about Trent Brown. He came like, man, that guy looks doughy.
It's Cedric Lang.
Tall and doughy.
It's the guy we just mentioned. That's
Lang.
Him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
6'7", 300.
Right. Coach him up, Scar. Let's go.
26 years old. Went to UTEP. Was with the Giants.
How's his ass? Keep his ass low?
He never good played a gravity? Game there. Went to the heavy? Broncos. Didn't play there. Yeah. It's a guy off the trash heap that all of a sudden they'll turn into a pro bowler.
Yeah.
Is what they'll do with him.
Yeah. He'll be leaving this time next year for $36 million.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean,
2 year deal.
Look at what Scar can do. Yeah. I also got another email, another football email, not from O'Shea. Another emailer, though, on a question about one of the receivers. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We could do an entire album of Zoe mashups where he sings.
Did you guys get that other one together yet?
617-779-0985. Anyway, the football team, Zoe.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a general question. Are the Patriots better or worse than they were in the Super Bowl?
Oh, they're worse.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. 1 o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertram. Couple emails here. One that just came in. You're right. They need some reasonably skilled receiver depth. Edelman is a year older and another year removed from his cough old training regimen. It's from Patrick. This one came in after the show yesterday.
I did.
From George.
Hey, George.
At Suffolk. Except he's actually still in school, unlike the other emailer, O'Shea, the other day using the old email address. So
goodbye, George.
George. Goodbye. This is from George.
Bye. Bye.
Who says,
bye.
Big fan of the show.
Bye.
He listens to our podcast on the way home from school and while at the gym, Zo.
Attaboy, George.
He's a second-year law student. He gives me the background here.
Woo!
So his Monday through Friday sucks, which is, he says, why I'm emailing you after 10 p.m. on a Wednesday. He says, but the show keeps me laughing. Thank you, George.
Me too.
Working out, going to law school.
Yeah.
Hoo-ah!
He's got a question for, he says, I have a question for you, Zo, and Hardy, about Bruce Ellington. On the Pats.
Yeah.
He says, you guys have spoken at length about how Patriots receivers, other than Edelman, could not get separation this past season.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming he makes the team, Ellington seems like someone who could help a bit in that department. From the clips I've watched on him, most notably the two games against the Patriots.
I agree.
Ellington seems like he has a quick burst off the line of scrimmage and can go up and get the ball in traffic. He jumps well at his size, which, by the way, is 5'9". Little guy.
He's more of what they do than the kid they got from the Redskins. Marsh.
He says, two things that could help a 42-year-old quarterback like Brady. Not saying that Ellington could be a cure-all. The Pats definitely need someone to fill the Brandon LaFell type role. Do you think Ellington could help the Patriots, or should I just go back to shoving my head in a textbook?
No, I think he can, but it's what? Not a one, not a two, but... You know, their ability to move guys across the formation and create space and get the matchup they want on them. That's where Josh comes in. As opposed to other, like, say you get a new offensive coordinator comes in, like, okay, Bruce, just go line up to the left side. You're going to play X here. Well, if we're going to put X here, he might draw the number one or number two corner. We don't want that. So we need to move him, kick him inside. We're going to stack it, or we'll put him in motion to where now all of a sudden the safety's got to come down. Now you get Ellington on a safety, or you got Ellington on a backer that really can't run. That's a win-win. Our quarterback's good enough to see that. He goes to him there. That's where you this type of guy would work, because I do agree with him. He has the most burst out of anybody that they picked up. The other guys look slow as molasses.
He certainly has the most upside out of any of these low-level guys. You know?
Played against him. You practice against him. You know the player. You've also talked to probably Billy about the kid.
There's also – you know how I sort of envision him being used? Cordaro Patterson light. Right? He doesn't have the size of Patterson. But I could see him being used in some of those end-around plays or being used on kickoff returns because he can return.
I'd say maybe a little bit of the Dorsett on steroids, so to speak, somewhere in between there, because he's not like – I don't look at him as dynamic as, obviously, Cordell Patterson was. Or
right, I don't think they're going to line up and run with Bruce Ellington.
No. No, you have running back problems. There's nobody that you've acquired.
They love running all of a sudden these inside, you know, plays, these inside gives to the receivers.
God, it drives me crazy.
I think Bruce Ellington could do those things.
He was a high school quarterback. He played basketball at South Carolina along with football, so he was a good basketball player. So he's athletic.
A very athletic guy.
So when you've played those type of positions, what it is, and this is why it works for Edelman, when you played the position of quarterback, or if you're a good basketball player, you have to understand one thing, and it's spacing. Your ability to create space, to get open, to use your defender to, you know, and that's part of basketball too. You're playing man-to-man basketball. You know, you run a lot of that rub stuff, those picks and stuff. So you've got to be creative as a player, and that those type of instincts will help him. He's the best of what you have that you've brought in, that you have any expectation for. It's a good email.
Right. If you want to create a glass half full type of projection for Bruce Ellington, let's leave it at this. The Patriots will probably get more out of him than any other team he's played for. Last year, he had 31 catches. Think he could have more than 30 catches here?
Yeah.
He could.
Yeah, because of who he was paired with down in Houston, and you have a young developing quarterback in Watson that maybe doesn't see the field the way Brady does. And you probably don't have the same type of creativity offensively, which I really don't think you do have. I think McDaniels is better than what they're able to do down in Houston. I mean, that's been proven.
31 catches last year on 42 targets. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think it's worth discussing. Out of all the guys that they've acquired of these, they're all, you know, Bruce Ellington's not even making $1 million. These are lower-level guys on the roster. This one has some upside. I could see it. George also wrote, I've got a not-so, this is the PS here. I've got a not so fun fact for you guys about sharks.
Uh-oh.
My parents live up in Maine, and according to the Gulf of Maine Institute, the Gulf of Maine is warming faster than 99% of the rest of the ocean. This could lead to more sharks all the way up the East Coast, not just on the Cape. Time to get out the harpoons, he writes.
Attaboy. I like this kid. More of his emails. You know what? Take the sharks and take your seals and put them up in Maine. I don't go up to Maine. You go up to Maine? Nobody goes up to Maine.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the encouraging news here.
You don't really go out of your way to go to Maine.
That the waters of Maine are warming. That, to me, is a plus. Because those beaches are too damn cold to go swimming up there.
Swim in Maine, no. I'm with you on that.
Get in that water and make some noise. Splash around.
Whether you go to Wells or you go to...
Wells?
Wells.
We're talking about sharks, not Wells.
Wells. Like a well. Wells Beach.
Oh.
York Beach.
Oh, I've heard of York.
I haven't heard of
Wells. Water's too damn cold. If you can warm that up with, you know, this warming trend.
Stay out the motions.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Because right now it's too damn cold.
That's good.
Shrivel up the blueberries.
Taking kind of a myopic view of that, though, Beetle. There could be other repercussions. Warming up the beaches of Maine to swimmable temperatures.
Yeah, no, listen. It's horrible for the earth, but I'm just saying, in the short term...
You know, for your...
Well, let's take advantage,
once every three-year trip to a Maine beach, you would appreciate it if the water temperature was
I go every year for 2 days.
Right, and I don't need it a lot.
2 days.
You go to Maine?
Yeah.
I know that.
Every year for 2 days.
I just need the water temperature, like...
What? I do. I go there for, 10 days.
But it doesn't have to be a huge difference. Like, 20 degrees warmer. That's all I need. Yeah, get it from, the 72 up to 92.
No, I don't need 20. I need 5. Give me 5 good degrees.
I need 15.
And we're in business up there.
No.
Just give me a good 5 degrees, and I think we're fine.
Not enough.
Okay, never mind. But that's good to know. I'm going to go up there this summer and check it out. Mm. I'll let you know how the waters are.
No.
Jump on in. Water's great.
Come on in.
617-779-0985. You're kidding me. We just got a shark call for 60 seconds on the topic.
Let's go. Yeah.
Josh has got his hands on the trigger of that graphic so quickly. He's got it up there like seconds after you mentioned sharks.
News, water is warming. It really is good.
So many people love the shark stuff.
Why
Why is the shark's teeth so fake in that graphic, though?
What?
Like the shark looks so real, but the teeth aren't shaded properly.
Well,
you could do a better drawing.
The teeth are kind of two-dimensional.
I don't think it's drawn.
You know, the rest of the shark has some depth to it.
Yeah, it's like a good-looking, girthy shark.
Teeth look like cardboard cutouts.
You're saying the teeth are a little flat?
There's no depth.
Yeah.
A little flat?
It's like the artist stopped. All he did was outline the teeth and, oh, crap, I forgot to go in and
shade. Look at this. Yeah. We mentioned this in the last minute and a half, and we've got sharks. And then a call from Maine, which I assume is about the waters.
By the way, I was wondering why we were doing a Bruce Ellington segment. Now I really know why, because the guy also emailed about sharks.
No, because it was actually a good email. We've had multiple good football emails this week.
If it didn't have the sharks in it, I don't think you would have picked
I would have, because I was already in on this email before I even got to that PS. I was like, oh, good, another good football email. Well thought out football email. Yeah, very complimentary of the show.
Got me talking football.
First, it was O'Shea. I know you weren't here for O'Shea this week, Jim. We had O'Shea emailing. Now we've got another guy.
Well, what are you going to do?
Email of the day.
Thank you, George.
You're going to blow against the wind, or you're going to take a shark call?
Take shark calls. Come on.
We're not swimming upstream. This isn't Mattawan
Creek.
Slight look at the clock.
He's taking a call.
Seth in Maine wants to talk about the Celtics, though. He does not want to talk about the waters of Maine.
Who's been on hold the longest?
Shark.
I'm going to go to Seth in Maine, then we'll go to a shark call. Seth?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Seth.
I watch your program every day. I grew up in Winthrop, Mass., and I know the water's cold there. It's not so bad in Maine, but you can take a hot shower. But what I want to talk about is I've never seen a Boston team that's had as many injuries as the Celtics. They may need a new trainer.
Well, what injuries are you referring to?
What injuries specifically are you thinking of?
Where's the trainer responsible for which injury?
How many days have they lost with players this year during the season? I mean, with bad backs and everything else.
To me, the most notable injury is Aaron Baines, who's missed time this year.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything that he's been injured with has been the fault of a trainer. He's a big guy. He plays a physical game.
We put that call on the top 10 main calls.
For I mean, Maine. Even when you're from here and you move to Maine,
nice
you're
guy.
Making, you become
nice
one of
guy.
The most notable Celtics injuries of the past two seasons are nothing to do with trainers. It's with guys breaking their ankles in a freak fall.
Kyrie Irving had complications of a knee surgery where he needed to have wires removed from his knee.
Marcus Smart punching a mirror. He missed time for that. It's got nothing to do with the trainer. Those are the most notable
Gordon
injuries.
Gordon Hayward shattered his leg.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with training.
Took a
and this year's
to the
various
head.
Injuries to... In other words, and not putting the word rest. Various injuries are listed, so they don't have to use the word rest, is 90% of their injuries this year.
Sure.
Load.
Paul in New Hampshire. Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Appreciate you taking my call again.
Paul.
I'm going to briefly touch on the Sharks, and then I want to briefly touch on the Red Sox.
If we have time for the Red Sox, but let's
do Sharks. Do the Sharks.
Okay, it's going to be pretty quick. The Sharks, I talked to you guys last week. You said the reason why there's more Sharks is because there's more Seals.
Yep.
And why is there more seals? Is there more herring or something up there for the seals?
No, they're protected. They you can't kill them.
Since 1972.
Why can't we kill them and make them in a fast food joint fish sandwich?
Sounds
or something,
good to me, man.
I don't think you want to eat that, but since 1972, like you have not been allowed to
eat
kill
it
seals.
In Alaska. I guess it's a real delicacy. They bring them in and they put them right on their kitchen floor and cut them right up and eat them.
I know. Do you watch Frontier Alaska?
I think that's a matter of survival more so than it is.
Inuit.
Yeah. Desire to eat that over something else.
The Last Alaskans, too, is another good one, where they go to the fishing villages, and he's his correct, where they'll get a seal or two, and they can really...
What about a seal slider, like a seal slider joint?
I'd do that with extra tartar.
Yeah. I don't think you'd want,
pickles.
Like, you know, a seal
you know, like
cutlet.
Chick-fil-A does it, just the chicken sandwich, right. They just throw pickles on it.
I don't want to go to a fine dining establishment and have a seal chop. But I'll eat a couple of seal sliders.
Oh, I thought you said seal chop, not veal chop.
Yeah, so how about seal sliders? Like a six-pack of them. Can you do three? Can you do three seal sliders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
That means kill the seals, yes. I'm in.
You got to eat them, though. You just can't waste that meat.
I eat anything.
All right.
I'll try anything. I will.
Really?
Yep. I actually love liver and onions.
Hardy has headlines. Good luck with headlines, Hardy. We'll be right back here on Zolak and Burke.
Fight anyone who says I don't like liver.
Keep calling from Maine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Shark calls?
I don't know.
I can't believe we get shark calls this early.
Of course we do.
It's not even summertime.
It's like they're waiting. You mention it, and there they are.
Oh, Amityville Police Department. That's not Amityville. Amity Police Department. It's Amity, right? Amity Island.
Yeah.
Amity Island.
Amity PD.
Yeah. As you know, Amity means friendship.
Those beaches will be open.
The beaches are open. Beaches are open. And they've got newly installed call boxes.
Yeah,
cool. In case anyone
clever boy
needs to
clever boy
reach out to Chief.
Be the best 4th of July we've ever had.
Chief.
If anyone needs to call Brody.
Hey, Chief.
He's there. Matt's in Worcester. Hey, Matt. Thanks for hanging on.
Matt Hooper.
Hey, no problem at all. How are we doing, Zo?
What's up, man? How you doing there?
Very good. Just taking a shark call here. So, I know I'm Matt in Worcester, but... my family lives in Marshfield, and last year, about midsummer, I told my girlfriend I am no longer going in the ocean. I am done with the ocean.
Yeah.
I'll go ankle deep. That is it. I've heard way too many stories about the Cape, way too many stories. I'm done.
Well, the nice thing about Marshfield, too, there's a couple beaches that, you know, where the tide comes in and it gets real shallow and the kids can play in it and stuff. But, man, when that tide comes in, I wouldn't trust it. Would not trust it.
Ankle deep.
Ankle deep's nothing.
Well, I mean,
until you watch videos of those suckers that come up on the beach or an orca where they pin the seal up on the beach and the orca actually could get on the beach.
Depending on what the tide's doing, you can't even walk on the sand. Sometimes you're going to be deeper than ankle deep. Wave comes in.
Yeah.
Strong.
Marshfield, 139er. South Shore.
Stay out them oceans.
Stay out them South Shore.
Brian and Chatham. Yep. Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I wonder what this is.
Welcome to Shark Hill.
Hey,
down
how
here.
You guys doing? This is a shark call for you. My brother owns a sport fishing tour down here in Chatham, and they do shark spotting. But he's a bit of a marine biologist, and what's going
hippie.
On?
Wait a minute.
Another hippie.
Wait a minute. I'm putting you on hold for a second.
No, I'm a bit of a home surgeon. He's a bit of a marine biologist.
A bit of a marine biologist? What does that mean to be a bit of a marine biologist?
Well, I'm not sure if that was his actual major, but it's pretty damn close. Okay. So, but
we got one that lives on our street in the Cape, and he's a hippie, and he eats only the stuff that he fishes or catches, and he has his own garden.
He actually majored in packaging, but, you know.
Yeah, he works down Woods Hole. I'm not saying his name because I don't want to get him in trouble.
He's a psych
man. All right, well, my brother does all of that, but he also shoots everything he eats, too. So, whether, you know.
Wait, a big game in China?
Why does he shoot everything?
A deer?
Well, he hunts deer right across the street from his house. We got a ton of deer down here. Everything's sort of protected, whether it be the grounds around, even through like some of the woods around people's houses. There's coyotes, there's deer that actually swim in the water out to the island. It's crazy.
I'm sure. You get those ticks in the water.
Ugh. All right, so here's a down low on these sharks. Oh. They're finding more of the baby sharks now than ever.
Baby shark.
Whatever the population is now, man, it's going to be 10 times that in a few years.
And, so you're saying it's only getting worse based on the number of pups these mamas are throwing these
days. You don't read the story about the one they found 14
they're
pups in
the belly. Birthing them left and right. Thailand. They found a shark that had died. Mama shark. 14 baby sharks in the womb.
Oh, it's good. It prevents 14 great whites from the world from having 14 more great whites.
Yeah, but anytime a mother dies, it's a tragedy.
But at 14?
It's a great white.
I mean, we don't know if that's a large litter. Small. Litter.
How many pups do they normally throw?
Right. How many are usually involved?
What the thing does is swim, eat, and make baby sharks. That's right. It's a killing machine.
Apex predator. Josh in Alaska, all the way from Alaska today. Oh. You getting us up there on the satellites?
On the Sports Hub app.
All nice. Right. Sweet. Nice. Way to pound that app.
Yeah, Hardy, I was privileged to be named Caller of the Year from you last fall when on the Bears versus Sharks. I haven't got to talk to you since.
Oh, well, this is a treat for all of us. Good. I'm glad you called back. What's going on?
So the seals, people actually eat them because they like them. I kind of think it's eating a dog with slippers, but it's not necessarily a necessity anymore. But,
so it tastes like
dog. Here in Alaska, a grimy, slimy, oily dog.
How do you cook it?
Is it oily, blubbery meat? It's not very
gamey.
Yeah. It's way worse than... I've never eaten it because it just stinks so bad. I've had whale, and it's disgusting, too.
You ever go to San Francisco and smell some of those docks when all those,
hold on.
Seals
hold,
and walrus?
Hold on.
Sea lions?
Hold on.
No.
The smell is god-awful.
How did you eat whale? I think that would be frowned upon in places other than Japan.
I have friends in... the Bristol Bay, the fishing community out there used to commercial fish, and they could eat whales and
have some muktuk.
Okay.
It's pretty gross. Right. But anyways, we have bear problems here. Someone gets mauled or killed every year all the time, and we just kill them. Why don't you guys just kill your...
Because they're protected. Because these stupid laws are protected.
Well, let me ask you a question, Josh.
Just kill that bear.
Things are a lot simpler in Alaska.
You take stuff in your own hands. I like your state.
We kill it. We find anyone it's related to, kill them.
We do what
them.
We want to do in Alaska. It's
we
like
find where they hibernate. We blow that up.
Yep.
We find anyone that owes the bear money. We kill them, too.
You know what you do? You're like the mob. You, Alaska.
You pay me.
Yeah. Where's my money?
At our moose camp, we've had a bear the last 2 years. Moose been camp. Messing with our moose camp. So this spring, when bear season opens, we're going to go out there and we're going to kill it.
What kind of bear?
It doesn't bother us.
What kind of bear are we talking?
It's a brown bear.
And what do you kill grizzly. That with?
What, now, grizzly when you fist. When you approach the bear, Josh, what, no. what do you typically say to the bear yes. when you approach it? You go, quack, quack, quack.
No, I just say bye and kill it.
And what do you shoot it with?
Gun? I have a .378 Weatherby, but you know I have a .50 caliber rifle too. It'd work great on those sharks. Can shoot them right out of the air in a helicopter. Got a friend with a helicopter. Just kill them all.
Would you consider? Once...
What if they hung you from a helicopter and just flew around, just had you just pick these things off?
That'd be awesome.
That would be.
Would you consider moving down the Cape for the summer?
Oh, absolutely. I love Boston.
Okay, we got to figure this out. Beautiful. I mean, this is
and you know. When you kill those sharks, don't they kind of, when they smell their blood, they get some kind of deal going where they
liver.
They realize it's a danger for them to be around?
That's what we heard from someone. I don't know if he was he was a bit of a marine biologist who told us this a couple of days ago. if they sense there is a great white who has been killed, the other great whites will clear out. They don't want to be in the area anymore. So,
well, I guarantee my .50 cal will blow their liver right out.
I love it. Okay. Well, this... I mean, you can have call
humans
boxes.
Humans are more important than sharks.
Yeah, jeez. Call boxer. You can have a guy hanging off a helicopter shooting from the air. Which do you want to see?
No, you hang out the window and blast them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Awesome.
Be good.
All right. Thank you. Well,
we used to ride around throw rocks at stop signs.
Intern, don't hang up. Get his number.
Quack. Contact quack. Info. Quack. Quack.
Could you imagine being close enough to a brown bear and take a shot at it?
No.
I mean, I understand it's what they do. I don't want to be that guy, though.
My favorite bear story was the Cape Cod train. When I thought the bear walked the freaking train.
Instead of just following the train tracks?
Instead of being on, like, the trash part of the train. Like, I actually thought, beep, boop, doors open, the bear walked on.
Like, so, I'm in the commuter rail.
The commuter rail. I have no knowledge of it being on the trash train.
I don't know if it was ever on a train. I
truly believe
the
that.
Track.
Honest to God.
The trash
and
train.
No kidding aside.
It had to because, Hardy, the bridge comes down to water level over the canal right above the water
right
because the bridge is up.
It's one of the most beautiful things to watch go up and down.
Another drawbridge?
Right? Yeah. Well, no, it's not a drawbridge.
No, it's a train bridge. It's gorgeous.
Train bridge over by Mass Maritime.
Gorgeous.
The train bridge is in the up position. You can't cross it. Unless there's a train going over.
Take the boat
it only
over
comes
and you
down.
Watch that sucker come up and down. There's nothing like it. Like, well, this is awesome. What a engineering feat. Feat of engineering.
How many times you watched it?
A lot. Yeah. Goes up and down, dude.
I was thinking last
night. It's way up there, too.
It's right near where Zoe goes down the cape.
Yeah.
It's in the same
It's right
area.
Next to the
same
Bourne
vicinity.
Bridge. You go over the Bourne Bridge, you look to the right, it's right there.
You've never seen that bridge?
It's like a quarter mile from the Bourne Bridge.
Hardy needs to go on a bridge expedition of Massachusetts.
you need
right here on Morrissey.
You need to get out of bridges today.
You need to get out of the can.
Every time I've gone over the Bourne Bridge, I'm driving, and believe me, I'm just focused on
you
the road.
You can't miss it, dude.
Straight ahead.
It's not my
dude,
favorite thing.
You can't.
And I really.
It's
I mean,
a gorgeous bridge.
I'm okay with it, but
show
I.
Show him a picture of the bridge.
I will. Show him a picture.
Do you like that? You like driving over the Bourne?
I love it.
I'm more of a Sagamore guy myself.
Dangerously close to the lane coming opposite you.
Thank you.
It's four lanes, but it's really like 2.5 lanes squeezed into four.
Oh, well, look at the water. I'm looking
for
right
the month
there.
Now, it's only a 2-lane bridge. It's closed. They were doing work on it.
Yeah.
So have fun down at Cape.
Today's takeaways are next.
Shark baby.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
That's sweet.
Oh! Hey! All right. Today's takeaways are brought to you by Jim Lyle's awful hat. No, I'm just kidding. Today's takeaways are delivered to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss has now made losing weight even easier for clients. Gourmet prepared meals
delivered right to your door. Fresh, high-quality, prepared meals with free delivery. All right.
Takeaways we go. The intro to the Quincy Beat today. Story about the person who drove up onto the sidewalk.
Stupid Quincy.
And then told the police that they were overreacting. Here's the intro.
I'll tell him something about Quincy.
Mark in Quincy. Hi, Mark.
He just said he was low on funds, so he's living in Quincy.
He didn't know this about Quincy.
Later had a caller who told us the best part of Quincy ME was the opening credits with the girl in the bikini. I looked that up.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised they allowed that that booty on television back in the late 70s.
A little risque.
So take a look. This is in the opening credits.
Is it the one towards the end where the girl,
look at her.
That was on TV?
Yes. Network television in the late 70s.
Where he's rubbing the skin and then they pan out and it's actually like his girlfriend or something.
Yes.
And she's like awake.
And they're on a boat. Yes. Yep. Yep.
It's free love 70s, man. Swinging.
No joke. A minute, 10 seconds that intro is for that TV show.
Yeah. Huh. TV intros were long back then. They were.
Jesus.
But that's the intro. You may hear that again from time to time.
Good day for Hardy today. We have a discussion earlier. And, of course, let's go to when our hosts aren't listening.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I was more
gave him a lot of money.
OP guy. Oh, Pacific.
Used to go into Pacific somewhere, that store at the mall.
Pac Sun.
Easy. Yep. Pac Sun. Flip flops, hat on backwards.
What was the name of ours?
T shirts.
Damn it. Pacific somewhere. That was the name.
That's
of
what we said. Pacific somewhere.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I mean, I'll take it. I'll own it, but that's pretty mild.
No, that might be the worst one ever.
Like, that's pretty mild.
We were repetitive five times, like Pacific Pac Sun.
But it sounds differently when you hear it back. When you're in here talking.
You're not listening.
No, when you're in here talking, you don't hear everything because you hear the voices, you hear it in your headphones, you hear it everywhere else. So it sounds different listening to it back. Right. See, you're talking right now. I don't know what he's saying.
Of course you are.
You do your stupid back off the mic thing. I'm just
gonna mutter. Okay, I'm just going to do it right on the mic. Just talk all over you.
See, you didn't hear what I said.
Don't talk your way out of it.
I'm saying in the overall scheme of host not listening, that wasn't too bad.
We have anything else from Hardy today? Time and temperature?
Possibly.
Well, this is all of us, I believe. Time and temperature is brought to you by Farmers Insurance. 49 degrees at 11:37 at Farmers Insurance. They know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing and a less than perfect one. Seen it? Covered it.
Hang on a second. How do you, that hot air balloon makes no sound when it lands?
Yeah, that's the sound. It's just a, that's a, it's very heavy gondola. It just makes a, here's the sound of perfect hot air balloon landing. And a not so perfect was like, ah! quack. Talk to Farmers. Thank you.
Do you know what kind of value add Farmers got that particular read?
Huge.
We are Farmers.
I remember the conversation.
Quack.
Do you remember the conversation when I explained to you?
And then he drops the camera.
You two aviators that you couldn't actually steer a hot air balloon and how you were just amazed by that?
I didn't believe that. I knew you could.
You could.
I thought you could steer a hot air balloon.
I know.
That's what Hardy just said.
There's no steering it. You go up or down and you ride the wind.
Because we were talking about this during the Kentucky Derby a year ago because that's when Brady and his wife took the hot air balloon over because of traffic. Remember to go to the Derby?
Yeah.
It's one laid in, one laid out. I'm like, and you're like, well, you can't steer them. Of course you could steer it.
No, a unicycle is a better mode of transportation than a hot air balloon.
I thought you'd point the hot air. You're like that air cannon. If
you've got the perfect
gauge. We thought it was like a rocket.
Didn't you think it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, like you can at least direct it. Hey, look at those look at those high wire lines. Let's stay away from those.
Nope. Up or down. That's it. That's all you got.
Well, forgive us for having never been on. You ever been on a hot air balloon?
I'm sorry, no.
No, I just want, what did you think the propulsion system was?
I would think those that those bursts of hot air when you press the button, those gaskets.
You go up.
Yeah, I know you go up, but I thought you could maybe tilt it.
So it's like a jet flame.
Yes.
I thought there might be some sort of directional wind
rudder?
Paddle.
You got a rudder.
A wind paddle. Oh.
Rudder.
Wind rudder.
Guess not.
I like just how we were all experts, though. We knew how it sounded when it landed in.
Yeah. I think we figured that out. I think we...
Tomorrow's a Friday. We'll do it again. 10 a.m.
Maybe.
Be here.
Or be square.
Felger Bass next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Eat glass.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball to short. Brock Holt will dig it out on the way to first, and the Red Sox have won it. They snapped the four-game losing skid here tonight, 6-3.
Maserati, in case you didn't stay up last night, the Red Sox won.
Woo! How do you feel about it, Maz?
Yeah!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.